This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Described as an unassuming patch of greenery, Bukit Persekutuan or Federal Hill is one of the last sizable forest areas in the Kuala Lumpur city centre. This secondary forest is home to an impressive range of flora and fauna and is also an area that is culturally and historically significant, complete with iconic buildings that are part of our nation's history. Unfortunately, though, Bukit Persekutuan's location, being adjacent to the Kuala Lumpur city centre, also makes it a prime land for development, which is why many, including the Malaysian Nature Society, are calling for the area to be officially gazetted. So I'm going to find out more about this from Tan Sri Dr. Saleh bin Mohamad Noor, who is an advisor with the Malaysian Nature Society, and he's also the former DG of FRIM, and architect John Koh, who is an architect and the immediate past chairman of the Malaysian Nature Society's Board of Trustees, and also Foo Wai Leng, who is a member of the Malaysian Nature Society and is part of the Special Interest Group on Flora. Welcome all of you. How are you today?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, in view of COVID and all, we are okay. We are healthy.
Keeping well, keeping safe.
Inshallah. Keeping well, keeping safe. Trying to.
That's all we can, we can just hope for the best, I guess. But, you know, MNS, all three of you are involved in the Malaysian Nature Society, and you recently published a letter which called for Bukit Persekutuan to be formally gazetted and also called for it to be made into a world-class observation showcase, recreational zone and heritage site. But, you know, for those of us who are unfamiliar with the area, what area actually covers Bukit Persekutuan? Can you share a little bit of its historical significance?
Juliet, may I start?
Yes.
By just introducing a bit on Malaysian Nature Society for the listeners.
Yes, of course. All right, go ahead. Please tell me about that first. Yeah.
The Malaysian Nature Society celebrated its 80th anniversary last year. And we had big programs, big plans. Unfortunately, Mr. COVID came knocking on the door, uninvited. and so we had to postponed many of these activities, and much of our activities, including our AGM, was held online. Nevertheless, we are hoping that members of MNS will pursue our effort at conservation, and listeners will join MNS, because MNS is the oldest environmental NGO in this country, and we've done a lot of things. We've saved Endau Rompin, we've saved Belum National Park, we've saved many other conservation issues. We have 4 nature education centers in the country. Unfortunately, out of a population of 33 million, we have only less than 4,000 members. So we like to invite Malaysians of all walks of life. You don't need to be a scientist. You just have to enjoy nature and be part of our voice of nature to the world. And it is in this context that we are moving this effort to conserve Federal Hill, Bukit Persekutuan, and the details of which I leave to John. He, being an architect, is much more familiar with this. But as an example, Juliet, we are proud that Kuala Lumpur can boast itself as one of the only capital in the country with have forest reserve in its midst. Mm-hmm. And what that is, of course, Bukit Nanas. But it's a small area. It used to be 17 hectares in 1906, but now it's only 9.3 hectares. So it's a small patch of greenery right in the middle of Kuala Lumpur. And it's the only capital in the country with a forest reserve in its midst. We have, besides that, we have Kota Damansara, or formerly called Sungai Buloh. And Kota Damansara is 321 hectares, which is quite significant. We have Bukit. Is this a forest reserve? So hopefully it will continue to be a forest reserve. But it's managed by the Friends of Kota Damansara, which is the only patch of forest managed by an NGO in conjunction with the Forestry Department. And we are very happy for that. Yeah. Yep. And then we have Bukit Kera, is an old estate, but this was given to government as a park by the owner when he departed. Mm-hmm. And that is 274 hectares, which is quite significant. And now part of that has been gazetted, not the whole lot, recently, and I'd like to congratulate government for that. So there are these patches of green lung Besides that, we have Lake Gardens, Taman Tugu. Lake Gardens is 91 hectares. Taman Tugu is 26 hectares. So in all, we have these patches of quite significant areas of green in the country, in Kuala Lumpur. Mm. As compared, for example, Hyde Park in London is 142 hectares. And Central Park in New York is 341 hectares. And for those of you, and I'm sure Juliet, you have been there, and it is a focus of attention to visit these areas of greenery, of lung, green lung within this metropolis of human activity. And so we are, in a sense, very proud. But we are concerned this propensity to so-called develop. And develop with sometimes no obvious reason except to make money. Mm. People do not see the value of conservation of green lungs. And John will develop this idea much more later. And I'm in a sense very pleased that MNS is doing this because we are committed as a society. And more so, we have our own this, our Rumah Tape, mm-hmm. in that part just opposite Museum Negara.
That's right.
And this is part of the green lung of the Bukit Persekutuan. And in Bukit Persekutuan are old houses, but istanas, the previous house of the Menteri Besar, the Prime Minister, Sri Kokosa, and all these iconic institutions which need to be conserved. And you don't want a huge high-rise building next to all this. And therefore, our effort to conserving Bukit Persekutuan is, to my mind, a significant effort to support, to lend support to the whole effort at making Kuala Lumpur a livable city in conjunction with all its aspirations. And here, we'd like to congratulate the mayor and the federal ministry for doing all it can to promote the greenery of Kuala Lumpur and maintain its greenery and enhance it by such activities as the River Life, etc., etc. I think I've said enough. I leave John to continue on. John, please.
Yes.
Juliet, you have any questions?
Not at all. Go ahead, John. Tell me a little bit about the, I guess, you know, why it's so significant in terms of its history, the area of Bukit Persekutuan.
Yes. I think before we go into that, it's really, we are KLites. And some of us come from different areas of Peninsular Malaysia. I originate from Melaka. I've worked in Penang, but I chose to come to Kuala Lumpur because it is the national capital. And being the national capital, there must have been very important events here, you know, historically, that led to Kuala Lumpur being chosen as the national capital. Mm-hmm. And to have a place like Bukit Persekutuan called Federal Hill, there must be a real reason. There must be a real value to the word a federation, you know,
yeah.
What it really meant. And I, unfortunately, with time, we have forgotten. And now it's re-emerging again, the talk about unity. If we really stretch our mind back, you know, that the important event that unfurled, the formation of the Federated Malay States, you know, that was in 1986, formation, 125 years ago, mm-hmm. you know, when the four protected Malay states, Selangor, Negeri Sembilan, Pahang, and Perak came together. And eventually, from this federated Malay states, we have the another very significant event, which is 1948, the signing of the formation of Federation of Malaya, where the nine Malay states, the two British Straits settlements of Malacca and Penang came together. So this is a very, very important 31st January 1948. And this signing of this document happened actually at Kokosa Sri Negara. So, you know, it's coming together of the country. You know, we were one small, different states, the Malay states, federated Malay states, the unfederated Malay states, and Straits Settlements. We came together so that we are one country. So we became the Federation of Malaya. And then in 1957, we got our independence. We declared independence. So really, the streets name are named that way, not by accident. You know, they were named because there was this intention to remember the historical significance there. Very unfortunately, some of the first batch of the architectural buildings were demolished or fell into disrepair and replaced. You know, and the M&S Tapir House is one of the last surviving one. So, you know, its gazettement is actually very, very crucial to represent this first batch of buildings. So that was built around the late 1800s to early 1900s.
That's right.
Then the second batch, after we got our independence, then the second batch of buildings of government quarters, federal government quarters, was built for married and unmarried men. So you can see the remaining of this dotting. There's 113 of them when we last counted it in 2007 with the help of Badan Warisan,
that's
of course.
Right.
I mean, if you look at it architecturally, as a group, I think the significance is that it represents one period of our residential architecture, governmental residential. But the gem, where's the gem? The gem, of course, is Kerkosa Sri Negara. And that has been, luckily, that has been gazetted, you know. And that was the site where the Frank Swettenham, the British resident general, first has his residence. And later on, when we got independence, our first Agong from Negeri Sembilan, I mean, he took residence there. Then, of course, within Federal Hill, you have the three palaces. The three palaces of Perak, Kedah, Negeri Sembilan.
That's right.
And the Sultan of Selangor, Salahuddin, is on the other side of the valley at Tugu Hill, you know, near Taman Tugu. It's all Federal Hill. And then at that time, it was Lake Gardens was called the public park. And, you know, they were all part and parcel of this very important appendage to actually Dataran Merdeka. So if you ask me, where is the heart of Kuala Lumpur? The heart of Kuala Lumpur is at Dataran Merdeka, where the first seat of government was, the state secretary, the Sultan Samad's building, the post office, the railway station. And so you have smack against this, the Lake Gardens, and just beside the Lake Gardens, you have Kerkosa Sri Negara, and across the valley where the old Damansara Road is, and of course, the name has changed also to Mahameru, and then later on, again, it's been changed to Sultan Hamid. So you have this change, but basically, geographically, they were hillocks, valleys, you know, swamps, and the roads went on the foothills and so on. So what we're trying to do is to re-establish this landscape historical restoration, you know, by understanding the big picture. So So there are those three palaces. There is also, of course, the other one, which is the memorial gallery Perdana, where our prime ministers stayed, starting with Tun Abdul Razak, then later Tun Hussein, then our last is our Tun Mahathir. They have their residence there. So all this is all, you know, so close to the city center. You know, it's really wonderful that you can walk there. And there are connectors already, you know, from Lake Gardens. You can go by a tunnel to the site of, what is that called, the museum. And then an overhead bridge across the Damansara Road, you know, that you are already on this Mahameru Road or Old Damansara Road. Then you hit the headquarters of MNS along Jalan Kelantan, that's Rumah Tapir, you know. Yeah. So, so it is something that we need the gazettement. We need the gazettement, so we are always reminded of this very important, that's this very important part of our history. It's by no accident, you know, that Kuala Lumpur is the capital of the nation. And being the capital of the nation, we as KLites want it to, you know, is very proud of it. And we really want it so that we are on par with some of the best cities and capitals in the world. We want it, you know, to be a green garden city. And we have already launched the River of Life, that's which right. is not very far away, mm-hmm. you know. And then even our spring water, Sungai Bras, along Jalan Selangor, it also feeds into that, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yes, that's a lot of stories to be told. An important capital, there must be a narration, there must be history, there must be these real stories. And I think Federal Hill, together with Kokosa and the Parliament Building, and together with our gardens, the three gardens merging together, Federal Hill, the missing piece of the puzzle, linking up with Lake Gardens, and then across the road, Parliament Road, we will be at Taman Tugu, a memorial, and where we just launched also the Taman Tugu. We will be truly, I think, a world-class city if we really, really have this gazetted, maintain it, look after it, have stories to tell about it. You know, we don't need only to walk along River Thames, walk along River Seine, go to Hyde Park or Central Park. We have our own special Malaysian capital, which are immensely proud of.
That's right. And I think, you know, a lot of people don't even know about, you know, the significance or you know, they just kind of drive by Tapir House and say, oh, nice MNS headquarters. But, you know, they don't know the actual significance of the area. And, you know, we're going to take a quick break now. But when we come back, we want to find out more about the impressive range of flora and fauna that is also, you know, home to the area. So I'm speaking today to Tan Sri Dr. Saleh bin Mohamad Noor. He's an advisor with the Malaysian Nature Society, and architect John Koh, who is the immediate past chairman of the Malaysian Nature Society. Society's Board of Trustees, and Foo Wai Leng, also a member of the Malaysian Nature Society and part of the Special Interest Group on Flora. And we're discussing why Bukit Persekutuan must be gazetted. We'll continue that discussion after this quick break. You're listening to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Joining me on the line today are Tan Sri Dr. Saleh bin Mohamad Noor. He is an advisor with the Malaysian Nature Society, and he's also the former DG of FRIM. Architect John Koh, who is an architect and the immediate past chairman of the Malaysian Nature Society's Board of Trustees, and also Foo Wai Leng, who is also a member of the Malaysian Nature Society and is part of the Special Interest Group on Flora. And we're discussing why the area known as Bukit Persekutuan must be gazetted, and MNS has actually recently published a letter calling for it to be gazetted and made into a world-class conservation showcase, a recreational zone and heritage site. So before the break, you know, both Tan Sri and John, you know, gave us a wonderful history lesson on why this area is significant. Wai Ling, maybe now you can tell me a little bit about the flora and fauna that is found in the area and why it's so ecologically significant as well.
Yes, actually, just to start off with, Bukit Persekutuan is actually, I would say, better, yeah, than even Central Park and Hyde, you know, Hyde Park,
yep.
Because these two parks are actually man-made, yeah, but Bukit Persekutuan is really a secondary forest in regrowth, yeah. So the key features about it is, John mentioned, there is actually a natural spring water called Sungai Bras Bras, and it's also a natural carbon sink. And very interesting is that the highest point is 110 meters and is actually said to be at the Istana Hinggap Kedah. And really, Bukit Persekutuan should be regarded as hill land. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a natural waterway in Jalan Abdullah or Lingkok Abdullah. And that has actually been confirmed, yeah, by the UNIT Geoscience, Jabatan Mineral and Geoscience, yeah, in 2014. Now, what's so interesting really from a green perspective about Bukit Persekutuan and why? Why should it actually be gazetted? For a couple of reasons. First is it's a green treasure trove, yeah, in really the heart of Kuala Lumpur. Secondly, what we want to do, MNS wants to do, is to really benchmark globally. So that's why we're talking about Central Park, we're talking about Hyde Park, you know, and the third thing is it's really a natural flood mitigation, water catchment and carbon sink, yeah, as a green lung.
Mm-hmm.
And fourthly, it's actually congruent with the Sendai framework, which is stated in the draft KLSP 2040. And it is really, last but not least, yeah, it is actually established, yeah, as a urban community forest, yeah.
Mm.
And it's a living, it's really living in the sense that there are, it's not only MNS, there are NGOs, there are individuals who have actually planted, you know, merbau, our endemic tree, yeah, national tree, for years, yeah, it's not just overnight, but years, and many communities and the public, yeah, are actually looking after the five trails there, which are the Heritage, Timberger, Jungle Fowl, Champadak, and the Pulai trails, yeah, and we also initiated a pilot bird refuge and corridor connecting Bukit Persekutuan and Bangsa. Now, coming back to in terms of what's so unique, yeah, in terms of the flora there. And now, it is, as I said, a green treasure trove. And we had Think City, which is actually part of Pazana, who actually came alongside and funded, yeah, sponsored a project back in 2017. And to look at really a survey, yeah, a flora and fauna survey. And in that survey, we identified, yeah, MNS actually identified 234 tree species and, in fact, two very exciting discoveries, which is actually the Shoria glauca. It's an endangered, yeah, dipterap tree, and there is actually a host for, you know, the parasitic Rafflesia flowers.
Yeah.
So, can you imagine, you know, we could have actually a Rafflesia growing in the heart of KL, you know, we preserve it, yeah?
Yeah, of course.
We also identified about more than 50 bird species, you know, together with other flora, and Sungai Bras Bras, yeah, which is actually just behind the MNS HQ, is an open education site, and is part of the River of Life project, yeah? Which was initiated by the Department of Irrigation. And it is actually the only clean spring water site out of all the centers of the River of Life project. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other thing is, you know, there are many rare and endemic trees, yeah, in the Bukit Persekutuan vicinity, That includes the Sri Galleria Perdana, yeah? Now, Bukit Persekutuan was also, you know, previously, you know, the residence of higher ranking officers, British officers in those days. And these officers also took a keen interest and were very passionate about plants, and they planted many rare plants around the houses. Yeah? Yeah. And this was actually continued by the scientists, yeah, from the National Science Academy, which Tantri was chair at one time. And they continued, yeah, in this same tradition, and they planted more even rare trees. And some of the so-called notable ones are like the Aminicio dendron chinense, which is actually a wild lychee tree. And this is actually a big tree, yeah, at our M&S nursery. And it is actually listed, yeah, as IUCN under the red list, yeah, as near threatened. Yeah.
Okay.
And I actually, together with some of my other, you know, flora friends, actually also identified a ginger from the East Malaysia. It's Adlingera nasuta, and it's probably the first to be recorded in Peninsular Malaysia.
Wow. Yeah.
And there is actually the Kachip Fatima Labisia pumila, which is actually the number one medicinal plant for women. Yeah. And we also have the Petaling tree, right? After which Petaling Jaya got its name. Yeah. And we've also got the miracle fruit, which is Molly Neria latifolia. It's quite common, but there are only two of its kind in the world. Yeah. The other hails from Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And this miracle fruit is actually an interesting fruit because after you eat it, everything else will taste sweet, yeah, as long as you don't rinse your mouth.
Wow,
yeah?
Okay.
Yeah. Now, in terms of actually what's happening globally, there was actually an article, just a very recent article put up by the BBC, and at least in the West, what they're actually doing, West meaning, you know, in the UK, in the Netherlands, they are actually building forests the size of tennis courts, yeah, which are turned into open and outdoor education centers.
Yes, that's yeah? Right. Yeah.
So what we have is, you know, we have Bukit Persekutuan, which is already a natural secondary forest in the growth. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have M&S has actually been doing all this open education, so you know it slips in nicely. Yeah. Now, in terms of really the, as a natural flood mitigation and water catchment, because of its, you know, of its forest, it controls rainfall runoffs and naturally mitigates flood and also drought in and around the surrounding areas of Bukit Persekutuan, which includes the Greater Kuala Lumpur, yeah? And it's also a natural biocooling system and very important as a carbon sink, yeah?
Yes.
4 KL acting as a clean air filter to so-called improve air quality. And it contributes really to the lessening of urban heat and reducing heat islands as, you know, global warming and temperatures actually rise, yeah? In terms of actually, you know, its congruence with the Sendai framework, the objective one is to prevent and reduce existing and new disaster risks through integrated and inclusive implementation steps that is actually stated in the draft, KLSP 2040. And it also meets the requirements for the policy framework for water-sensitive urban design.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bukit Persekutuan is really integral, yeah, is really an integral part of KL's, we estimate 17% of urban tree canopy coverage. Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, that is, I think, really, you know, apart from that, as I mentioned, we are actively, you know, a number of NGOs together with M&S and as recent as even yesterday, an individual actually inquired about, you know, our guided walks, our guided interpretive walks, of the flora and fauna, which SIG Flora has been actually doing, until really the MCO, actively, monthly to the public. And not only that, it's wonderful, you know, that the individuals are even asking, is anyone maintaining these trails during MCO? So I said, you know, we encourage people to come walk, to see, to help with volunteerism, you know. So it is really part and parcel of an education, open education system. It's very community-based. It's next to nothing to maintain it, to retain it, because it's for the love of nature and, you know, for historical purposes.
Yeah, and based on everything that all of you have said, it's not something that's just nice to have. It is, you know, something that is essential also in terms of keeping urbanites healthy and safe. And, you know, as you mentioned, it's a carbon sink. It's part of our, integral part of our history, as John said. But of course, as we know, because of its wonderful location, because of its proximity to the KL City Centre, it is prime land for development, of course. Is the area currently protected in any way at all?
Well, the
not in terms of gazettement. John, correct? Go ahead.
Yes. John. The government quarters are essentially owned by the federal land and mines. Okay. All right. They are the owners, and they want DBKL, City Hall, are the caretakers. So, very important is that we are not only just asking for the gazettement. Alongside, we want this facility to be enjoyed by all, to be accessible by all. And the old government buildings, we have seen many examples worldwide where they can be adapted, reused, you know, quite purposefully for commercial, for research, education, and so on. Example. If you opposite the botanical gardens in Zone 10 in Singapore, Dempsey Hill has an ex-government army barracks where they converted to quite upmarket sort of wellness, galleries, restaurants, cafes, and so on. But apart from this, we are also recommending that it be a center for research and education, and there are also satellite campus of the Natural History Museum that is located in Putrajaya. You know, you can have a city one located. You can see in Sweden and so on. All these are housed in very humble, small buildings, but very, very accessible and having very interesting exhibits, natural history, and so on and so on. So we were just thinking of a whole list of a very useful usage. For instance, already in Bukit Petaling, MIR, the economic side, government already gave them a site to have the headquarters. Here, it can host you know, societies like MNS, Badan Warisan, and also a research into hydrology, research into flood mitigation and hydrology, and so on and so on. So there is usage. We want it to be a living. It's just not a museum. It's a living. It's a living asset, green asset of the city, natural and historical national heritage that we are talking accessible to all and enjoyed by all. And actually, it's addressing a great numbers of SDGs, the Sustainable Development Goals that has been sort of promoted to different countries and different local governments, you know, by preserving or gazetting Federal Hill, will be there were opportunity for maintaining good health and well-being for our citizens. That's goal number three. then clean water and sanitation, then Kuala Lumpur will be a more sustainable city and a community. That's addressing goal number 11. And then, of course, goal number 13 is climate action, which Wai Ling has already talked about,
yeah.
That we will be emulating this ever-warming effect as we go along the years. And of course, to absorb, we have made promises as a country at the Copenhagen in terms how we are going to reduce carbon emission.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a city facility here, right in the city center, that's doing this work, you know.
That's right.
Apart from flood mitigation, we must not forget, actually memory is very short. Not too long ago, in September the 10th last year, we had a flood in the city center where the flood levels were affected 20 locations, and they were to a depth of from a 300 from a foot 300 to about 3 meters. That's very serious.
Yeah.
And it, how much the economy suffer due to this natural calamity, all right? Part of it is man-caused. You know, man caused this, construction sites, pollution, garbage disposal, and of course, rampant removal of our forests is also to be blamed. What happens is, when you do not have forest or green cover protecting a hilly site or land, the water will just rush down the slope, and then they will go into drains and rivers that doesn't have enough capacity to carry it.
Yeah.
So the forest actually is our ally. Is our ally in coping with this global warming, natural disasters, the natural disasters of preventing further landslides in hilly areas and so on. Apart, we're talking about all this that it's doing apart from an enjoyment for ordinary folks in the surrounding communities of Bangsa, you know, Bukit Bandaraya, Bukit Persekutuan, Sri Bukit Persekutuan, and, you know, from visitors from all over the place, KLites, who now can not only enjoy lake gardens, but can go to Federal Hill, Taman Tugu, and so on and so on. Yeah, and we are addressing over SDG number 14, that we are concerned about life below water, and we are also concerned about life on land. You know, so it is, and we are working with local communities as recommended in SDG number 17. So the partnerships with our local communities and with Badan Warisan in order to look after this national, historical and natural asset or heritage.
Just to add on, really, you know, MNS's vision for Bukit Persekutuan, I think, you know, we are looking at really it being really an extension of a natural tourist belt and, you know, forest park network. Correct, John and Tan Sri?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
And really what we're looking at is, you know, to regenerate, have a program to regenerate a residential enclave, yeah, which reaches out to social economic institutions, youth development, peace and unity foundations. And as John mentioned, just to add on, we're looking at, you know, seed banks, you know, maybe an institution who could actually maybe rent, yeah, one of the government bungalows there to, you know, for seed banks and support, let's say, urban community farms and nurseries and so on and so forth. And we are really, as John and Tan Sri have mentioned, looking at KL becoming really a world-class city, yeah. So it's not only, you know, making KL a low-carbon city, but to put it really on the map of world-class city with, you know, a showcase, urban community forest, heritage site. Yeah, and combining Bukit Meskituan, you know, with Taman Tugu, Taman Botany, it's 192 hectares, right, John? And and really, Tan Sri, you know, in terms of a legacy for the rakyat and future generations, MNS is committed, isn't it? Right? You know, to, you know, flourish really the urban community forests and turn it into a true education center. Yeah. Tan Sri, do you have any thoughts on, in terms of, you know, how we can actually progress this in terms of, you know, the UCF and also, you know, Rumah Tapir, yeah, is concerned?
Yeah. MNS, having been very much concerned on rural natural forest conservation in the past, is now focusing also on urban conservation of greenery. And we are taking Bukit Persekutuan as an example, because as John says, it is within our federal capital. It is within Kuala Lumpur, the heart of Kuala Lumpur. And we need to make Kuala Lumpur truly green, because the population is increasing. People need recreation areas, and it's within walking distance from many areas and lots of parking areas that they can park their cars and walk and enjoy the greenery from Lake Gardens right up to Taman Tugu, connect that, as John says, across the bridge to planetarium area, the lake, and so on and so forth. And so they offer huge opportunities for the young to get out and enjoy nature.
Yep.
Unfortunately, COVID has prevented it, but hopefully this will open up soon enough. My concern is the younger generation are too much computer bound. They're bound, they see everything, they see elephants on YouTube, they see wildlife on YouTube, nature on YouTube, but they don't see it in real life.
Yeah.
You know, this is unfortunate. And I like to share this example. A friend of mine was driving from, he's a Singaporean with his 12-year-old son at the back, drove up past Johor Bahru and was driving around the rural areas, and suddenly the son said, Dad, hold on. Screech, come to a stop, and then said, yes, son, what is it? Look, Dad. You know, what was it? A cow. 12 years old, has never seen a cow, although has been to McDonald's, has been to Kentucky Fried Chicken, has never seen a cow. Now, unfortunately, we don't have cows in Federal Hill, but maybe we can.
Yeah, but I think the hill has a treasure trove of things already, right? Yeah. Sorry, carry on, Tan Sri.
Exactly, Jillian. And that, to my mind, is what the country needs. We need to expose our younger generation, and that's my concern. Our younger generation are not exposed to this sort of open areas. And, you know, walking barefooted on the ground is a very healthy thing. You do it for 20 minutes every day, it enhances your whole well-being. But to walk barefooted in nature, it must be clean, must be safe, you must not be afraid of leeches, but you must provide that opportunity for our younger generation. And Bukit Persekutuan does offer that opportunity for, as John said, the KLites, yeah, and all our visitors, people who come from overseas to Kuala Lumpur. I mean, you see KLCC Twin Tower once enough, but we need a National History Museum, which now apparently has been approved by government. After so many years, Juliet, I was one of the movers of the National History Museum when I was in Secretary General of the Academy of Sciences many years ago, but 20 years ago. Alhamdulillah, now it's becoming a reality. When, I'm not sure, but I have some ideas on this. We should discuss this, Juliet. It's great.
Definitely.
You have a National History Museum sometime. Yeah. So coming back to our topic for today, I really would appreciate that people give effort to conserve nature, that the private sector must not consider development exclusive, but not considering the conservation of greenery. Enough is enough. And, you know, it was the great Mahatma Gandhi who said that the world has enough for everyone's needs, but not for everyone's greed. This is the problem, Juliet. We, the private sector, with due regards, of course, there are exceptions to the rule, they tend to be greedy. They see every opportunity, open space, as an opportunity to have a high-rise building, opportunity to make money. But they forget that the grass, the trees, have a tremendous fundamental role. One, photosynthesis to provide oxygen for you and I to live. Two, to absorb the carbon dioxide that you and I produce. Now, without those trees, without the greenery, the fundamental essence of life is gone. That we must not forget. Now I'm becoming emotional and I better stop there.
Well, I mean, all of you have, you know, laid out so beautifully why Bukit Persekutuan must be gazetted. But I'm afraid we're running out of time. So, you know, is there any way, you know, if anyone is interested and they'd like to get on board with this campaign, you know, we talked about how this is something that all different people, you know, organizations should get together and do. You know, how can they get in touch and what's the best way to do that?
Well, all you have to do is Google Malaysian Nature Society. The website is there. They can contact there.
Okay.
And we have the WhatsApp as well.
Yeah, their WhatsApp. You can contact John, myself, Welling, whoever. You know, my number is open. I have 010-5791-697. You want to take that down.
Okay.
And I have my email, saleh.mohammadnoor@gmail.com. Feel free to contact me, and I'm more than happy to give talks, to give advice, to give lectures, and to come and take people out to walk around the Urban Forestry Center, our MNS Rumah Tapi, when time is right.
Yes, I think to just a quick word, if we take care of nature, nature will take care of us. That's the fundamental. And I like to see that all of us, including BFM, we are in the nation building role. Mm-hmm. You know, all of us have this role, and we are welcoming communities to actually participate to help us to build or rebuild our nation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because forests matter. That's our. That's one of our taglines.
Yes.
So BFM. Well, thank you so much, all of you, for joining me today. I've been speaking to Tan Sri Dr. Saleh bin Mohammad Noor, who's an advisor with the Malaysian Nature Society, and the former DG of FRIM, Architect John Koh, who is the immediate past chairman of the Malaysian Nature Society's Board of Trustees, and Foo Wai Leng, who is also a member of MNS and part of the Special Interest Group on Flora. And we were discussing why Bukit Persekutuan must be gazetted. And again, if you'd like to find out more, just head to mns.my and you can get in touch with the folks at MNS to find out how you can get involved in this campaign. If you miss any part of today's interview or any previous Earth Matters interviews, you can search for the podcast on our BFM app and also on Spotify, and if you like, also Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.